Welcome to this edition of the Heartfelt Ministries podcast with your host, counselor, author, women's minister, and Bible teacher, Dr. Joneal Kirby. Each week, Dr. Kirby, aka Dr. Mom, will give you practical life encouragement as she hits on topics like, do you want your kids to know and love God? Are you struggling with time to make memories with your children? Do you want to build a legacy of faith in your family? Is it your deep desire to have a stronger marriage? How can you be a good friend in today's social society? Dr. Kirby shares her heart with you, hoping you'll be refreshed and blessed each week. Heartfelt Ministries is an international women's ministry helping women all over the globe reach God's potential for women based in Titus 2. Now, for today's podcast, here's our host, the founder of Heartfelt Ministries, Joneal Kirby.
Welcome to Jolena Petersheim today. Is I saying that right?
Yes, ma'am. You've got it down perfectly.
Okay. Petersheim, that is not a Southern name, Jolena. So what's that origin?
Well, my husband has a German background. He's actually Pennsylvania Dutch. He was born in Minnesota, but his background's from Leicester, Pennsylvania, the same as my own background. I was born in Leicester, but we moved to Tennessee when I was three.
Okay, so you do have some of a Southern accent.
Oh, right? Yes, ma'am. I can draw it out with the best of them.
Well, I'm so thankful that you're with us today on the podcast, and I know that this is going to be such a blessing to our listeners today because you have just come out with your novel, How the Light Gets In, and it's Tyndall Publisher. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. It sure is.
Okay, and I absolutely love this book. I love all your books, but now this is my new favorite. I just love it.
Oh, thank you, Joneal.
In fact, as I was reading back through it again to just familiarize myself with the names, I thought, okay, I want to read it all over again.
Oh.
That good, Jolena, you're just amazing at storytelling, and you really capture your character so well. So that's what I'd like to jump in and ask you about. Your heroine in this book, well, I guess, would you say that you wanted her to represent a modern day Ruth, or did you really see it that closely?
I imagined Ruth. You know, the Bible story of Ruth is my favorite one. I realized I was imagining her as just this stark figure, like this cardboard cutout, felt board cutout from like a Sunday school lesson. And when I really pictured her as having lost her father-in-law and her husband and moving to a new area where she didn't know the culture and starting all over again, like how would she survive her grief? How would she find healing and redemption? And what if she had children? I don't believe that Ruth in the Bible had children, but as a mom of three little ones, I just really wanted to give her children to see how she would react to grief, because I would have a harder time seeing my children go through pain than even for myself. And so I just, imagine Ruth in the modern day setting of a Wisconsin Mennonite community.
I think you did such an amazing job of representing a woman's grief with her children grieving too. That's really, really hard. How were you able to kind of channel those feelings? That's a tough one.
I think a lot of it had to do with our family's personal journey. My husband was diagnosed with a benign brain tumor. So it's non-cancerous, but that was in 2014. He had to have emergency surgery. And about 6 months after surgery, we knew that it was possibly coming back. And so for, you know, all those years up until 2019, we've lived with that uncertainty and that fear. And I know with my own heart, I feared the loss of him for my children more than for myself. And so we dreaded this surgery, and we knew for sure it was going to take place 2 years ago, or I guess it was last August. It was right around the eclipse. I remember that we got the news about him needing like Bandurd craniotomy again. That just, that fear, that grief, everything you experienced through that, I kind of channeled through this story because I processed life through writing. And we were going through a challenging time in our marriage. We just moved home. We were going through transition. I was expecting our third baby girl. Just this upheaval and kind of find each other again through this grief and pain. And so I allowed my characters to kind of have a second chance to find each other again as well.
Oh, wow. Now that I've read the book and known some of your story, but you expressing it like that, I'm just like feeling it again. Oh, wow. It was just such a wonderful way of expressing it. All the emotions were there. But then you have Ruth Neufeld actually meet her, I guess, her modern day Boaz.
Yes, ma'am.
Through Elam in your story. And how was that for you? I mean, I can't imagine, you know, as a writer and you're telling a story, somehow you have to get into your character so the dialogue will be true. How is that writing about a woman having feelings about someone that is not her husband? I mean, I know that your Ruth in the story didn't think she had a husband anymore, of course. He had died. So, but how do you do that as a writer?
Just really observing life and just kind of channeling, you know, different stories I've heard, different experiences over time, just channeling that and placing it inside this character. And just as, you know, I experienced what she experienced, you know, hearing the news of her husband's death in a bombing in Afghanistan, you know, even though I didn't really experience that, I can still channel those emotions. And so I just try to channel that same uncertainty and fear for her children in the middle of transition as she was stepping into a new relationship with Elam. And Elam's such a sweet, gentle character. He actually is kind of like my husband, you know, this quiet, gentle spirit who brings her a sense of security. And so just kind of I pictured my husband for a good part of Elam. Chandler's more her husband who left her as a widow. He was kind of more impulsive and spontaneous and verbal, and Elam's none of those things. And yet he's just what she needs in that moment.
That's very, very well said. And I'm just also a little curious about how your past religious experiences and where you are now, how did that factor into Ruth, your character Ruth? Because I see her, you know, going into the Mennonite community, seeking some peace, a place to rest and rebuild the future. How does your background inform you as a writer of that story?
I actually was never raised Mennonite, but my dad was raised Mennonite and my mother was raised Brethren, which is a conservative form of Mennonite. It's a little bit like Mennonite, the belief system. But that heritage, even though I consider myself like a second generation, we still have so many aspects that inform our lifestyle, like just a sense of family commitment and unity and a simpler viewpoint and a yearning for a simpler lifestyle. And so incorporating those things into this story, I guess I would just see Ruth coming into this community and experiencing a completely different culture, which even though I wasn't raised Mennonite, I did move to Wisconsin from Tennessee. When I was 28, with my husband, we moved with a 2.5-year-old and 8-week-old. And so we moved there to this community, and the women there were incredibly precious to me. I mean, they accepted me with open arms. They offered us date nights and let me borrow snowshoes. And, you know, like they did everything they could to make the transition easier. And yet it was a very big cultural difference. And so learning to respect the women and see life through their eyes was a really great learning experience for me. And so instead of, you know, the Mennonite community, I placed Ruth in a Mennonite community, but I was more in like a farming community in Wisconsin. And so that the culture shock was very real for me. And so that was easy for me to write that into Ruth's experience in visiting the Mennonites in Wisconsin.
So you, this book, after you had moved back to Tennessee, but as I was reading through your last writings in the, I can't remember what you call the very end where you have those writer's comments.
The note from the author.
Yeah. I'm one of those real nerdy readers who literally starts at the copyright page and reads every word.
Oh, I love you. That's the kind of readers I love so much.
Well, I do. I devour words, and especially with an author that I love like you, I don't want to miss one thing, and I know everything that's in between the covers is important, so I just devour it. And so I was reading back through that again today on your author's notes there, and having you reflect on that move from Wisconsin to Tennessee, would you say that really set your mind into this place of writing this story. There was just something about that personal experience that just set the platform for you to write How the Light Gets In.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Like, just everything I felt, well, and you experienced that too. I believe that every part of our journey has a meaning and a way of shaping us. And so nothing is discarded. And so every part, moving out to Wisconsin and experiencing the grief of, you know, the loss of dreams and my husband and our relationship shifting as we transitioned, you know, twice, moving out to Wisconsin, moving back to Tennessee, you know, I feel like everything just kind of informed Ruth's story with How the Light Gets In, and just, yeah, it made it come to life on the page and allowed me to find a lot of healing. And my prayer for this novel is that it'll bring healing to my readers.
And I feel like after reading all of your novels, I mean, literally just eating them up, I'm waiting for you to do something after The Alliance. Because I was so sad about all of, you know, that ending. But this may be your closest one to having some kind of autobiographical content.
Yes, for sure.
Some of the others I read did not seem to have that. Just
no.
A little
about you. No Scarlet Letter or the surrogacy or the electromagnetic pulse going off. I guess I didn't have a lot of autobiographical content, thankfully.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, this one definitely was more of a personal experience. And even just Ruth trying to balance motherhood and pursuing her art, you know, that's very much the case on my end. Like I've written almost all my novels at the kitchen table. I've never had an office. I think of ideas when I'm steam mopping the floor. Actually, the twist in How the Light Gets In came to me when I was steam mopping the floor and my scalp prickled and the hair on my arm stood up. And I thought, oh no, this changes everything.
Oh, my God. I think it's really interesting that you just remarked that you write novels that are from the kitchen in your home. And then in the novel, and I don't think I'm giving anything in real important away, but when Elam offers his place for Ruth to be able to come and just get away and work, could that possibly be a little secret dream of yours?
I'm living through my character's
pet.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I would love it.
Have a little, what do they call it? A she shed?
She shed. Yes, yes. Maybe somebody can start a GoFundMe project for Jelena's writing shed.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. If you had a place like that, but Bruce had one, but you
I haven't yet. My husband built a little shed from reclaimed barnwood and he put it down in our creek. But we've had so much rain this winter that it's flooded twice. So it actually has mold on the bottom and we should be able to salvage it. But it would be a perfect little she shed. I could just sit down there. The only problem is it doesn't have room for the playpen. And I usually write while my baby's napping. So that
when your baby's
create an issue.
Yeah. Well, and it's really an inspiration, I think, to me. And I know to many women who ask, have children in their home, and although my children are grown, I keep my grandchildren very often, and it's inspiring to hear that you just carve moments out of your day, even as you're being a mom, to let your inspiration fly onto the paper, and that even encourages and inspires me to maybe up my game a little bit.
Oh, you do not need to up your game. I think you do an amazing job.
I'm very, very inspired by you. I have, like I said, I've enjoyed all of your books. I look forward to the next one coming out, but I am going to read How the Light Gets In again. I got really excited looking at it again today. I thought, oh, I need to go. There was so much in it. There was a whole lot in the book that was just very captivating. And like I said, I think you do such a great job on your dialogue and how you shape your characters and keep them true to their characters. I'm a former English teacher who did teach writing.
Oh, well, thank you. That's a bigger compliment. I love my English teachers.
Me too. That's why I became an English teacher. right out of high school because I loved my English teachers in high school and they were very inspiring people to me. You know, I've graded lots of senior term papers and things. And so I tend to sometimes feel like I get my red pen out in my head, but I never even have to take a beat to do that when I read your books because the stories are so great. The characters are so captivating. I just fall in love with your books. I really love your writing, Jolena. It's just beautiful writing. I'm very grateful to have you here today. Now tell me, I saw something about your book being released on March the 5th.
Yes, ma'am. That's the date. On Tuesday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think this podcast may actually be running after that. I can't predict that right now, but I will be sure and let all of the readers that love your writing, but all the people that follow our podcast know that they can go to any of their booksellers to purchase this. I always love to encourage them if there's a local Christian bookstore to support that because our brick and mortar stores are struggling right now.
Yes.
So I really do love for everyone to shop local if they can, but I do know that it's so easy peasy to get our shopping done online when we're off of work and our kids are in bed at night. So I want to let them know that they can really get your book anywhere that books are sold.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Well, what plans do you have to put your pen to your paper again?
Well, I'm waiting on my she shed. No, I'm actually working on a synopsis for another novel, and a synopsis isn't my favorite part. It's like trying to combine an entire novel within a couple of pages. And I have a hard time doing that because I'm not a very condensed writer or technical writer. But this one's been a little bit challenging. It's based on a historical character. And so having to do the research for it's taken some more time, but I'm really loving it. And the idea kind of just came about when I was visiting an area. And there are just these moments with, and I'm sure you've experienced this, Pooja O'Neill, with your ministry. You try to minister to these women and you know there are these crucial moments in their lives where something tragic happened. And I wish I could just go back to that moment and just hold that little girl and just speak identity and value into her heart. And so that's kind of how this idea began to flourish. Like if I actually had the ability to go back in time and speak identity and value into this character's life, like how would it change the course of her destiny? How would it go on to change her family and beyond that, the generations after? But just trying to follow that journey and be true to the historical facts while also speaking hope into the story. It's been fun.
Okay, I cannot wait.
I thought it might pique your interest.
Oh, you have intrigued me. When you said the word historical, you got me there because I love historical novels. And then the whole thing about speaking into women's lives. Look, you know, how can we be a part of one another's lives as sisters in the Lord so that we can be powerful inspirations for one another? I'm so pumped now. I cannot wait for you to get that book published. please put me on the advanced reader copy. I'd love to read
yes.
that. Always. I would love to. Well, please come back when you do get that book out to your publisher, and I look forward to it. And thank you so much, Jolena, for just spending these few moments with me. Would you let me just pray over you and the success of your book and just your ministry to women?
Oh, I would absolutely love that.
All right. Oh, Father God, as we come into your throne room right now, what a blessing that we just speak your name and immediately we are transported to the feet of your throne. And we are so grateful to be here. It's because of Jesus who we love. And Father, we thank you for our Savior. And I just want to just come before you today with my sister Jolena on my lips and in my heart right now. Father, please bless this book. I pray that it will be an inspiration to many women to just draw on your strength and your power and let the Spirit in their lives when they get into those dark times, especially dark times in their families and in their marriage. Father, I pray that they will just be inspired by the word that Jolena has written through this story. And I ask you to bless the sale of the books. We will bless her family, and her work of her hands brings favor from you. And Father, I pray that many, many women who will read, men also, will love you more, serve you, and be fully healed through the blood of Jesus. Thank you now for my sister, and I pray your blessings will be up to her and her husband and her children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Joneel.
Well, I'm so grateful for our time together. I know we've been Facebook friends for a while, and now we're podcast friends, and who knows, maybe one day we'll be face-to-face friends.
I would love that. Have a cup of coffee in our she shed.
Yeah, well, I think we should do that.